Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DestroProbs.com anime and manga podcast. As always, these podcasts are brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Amazon and Amazon.ca. It's Amazon, Amazon for Canadians. And currently they have this thing going on where you can get a free month trial of the Amazon Prime service, which I really recommend. It is a great fucking service. Like thousands, possibly millions of items, free shipping, 2 to 3 days max. It is amazing service, will save you a lot of money. Check it out, Amazon and Amazon.ca. Click at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site, and go check out Amazon. It's Amazon. Yeah. Also, why not check out our stuff? DestroProbs.com/store. It is not on Amazon, but so yeah, that's the only place you can get it. DestroProbs.com/store. Yeah, as always, we're accepting new designs for art and such, so please send them to bovey1@destroprobs.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums if you have them. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you. And if we use it, we won't be able to pay you. If you submit an art and we use it, we'll be able to pay you. Depending on what all those products sell. So yay. Again, that is bovey1@destroprobs.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forum. And check out all their stuff at destroprobs.com/store. I'm your host, Dead Man. Jumping today, as always, we have Bovey on.
Hello.
And Pudge Ron.
Yeah, hi, hi.
So, Pudge, what have you been reading and or watching?
All right. Let's get right into the nitty-gritty of this, I guess.
Yes, and quite.
Okay, let's start off with something that's just interesting, I guess. From Sato Soji, who some of you may recognize as the author and artist of High School of the Dead and a couple other things of lesser moral value.
I like Hot D.
But this is one of his older ones, I think. I think it's older. But it's called Triage X.
Huh.
And basically, our main character, Arashi Mikami, is your... Actually, they don't really play around with the fact that he's a normal high school student. He's a student in high school who is a member of an assassin organization.
Okay, that's a...
called Black Label.
That's a bit different.
Yeah.
Not your average protagonist.
Yeah, they never...
Well, not your average high school protagonist.
The first thing you see is him... The first scene of the manga is him killing a guy. They don't really play around with the fact that, oh, he's normal and he has maybe a secret life. No, he's...
It just straight up. It's like, yo, you know my main character? He kills dudes.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
And I'm not... If I didn't already mention it, the organization is called Black Label.
Okay.
And it's basically a group that is... actually run out of a hospital, which is sort of a special hospital that all of the employees are agents of Black Label, and they're actually all, you know, doctors and nurses and such.
With boobs.
Well, yes, yes, and being the Shoji series.
Yep. Everyone has giant boobs.
There are many boobs.
So many boobs, but they never actually show the boobs. They just... The boobs are always clothed. Which is actually kind of strange, thinking about it. Like, they'll show top boob, they'll show, like, under boob, they'll show side boob. They never actually show just full-on boob.
Well, maybe that's in the High School of the Dead, but then... You know, I believe he was a hentai artist before this, before his mainstream breakout.
That explains a lot.
It really does.
But this particular series doesn't really pussyfoot around the subject. There are multiple bathing scenes and shower scenes and whatnot.
Okay.
But it's if you can ignore the highly fetishized character designs of the women, you can pretty much... It's a solid manga, actually. It's basically Black Label is an organization that has... that takes accounts of all the criminal activities and stuff of the... in the city, and assigns the worst, and they assign them the criminals' levels of infection, I guess. You know, how much you should watch for them in the future, and, you know, at one point they label somebody a fever, because, like, we should keep an eye on them, but, you know, they don't need to die yet.
Okay.
They can still change, yada, yada, yada. And the worst of them get assigned the titular Black Labels. And they're malignant tumors.
Cancer?
Affecting the city and so on and so forth. And
yeah, so like. So
they have to die.
Yeah, so I like that. Like, ties to the hospital motif thing that they have going on, which is nice.
Yeah, it creates a nice little dichotomy.
Yeah, and plus, you know, people are just standing around talking about, you know, all the targets they need to kill. They don't have to stand around saying, all right, we need to kill this guy. To say, oh, he's cancer. Okay, send surgeon.
Yeah, and they do actually call them surgeons.
Oh,
They need to operate on... They use operating on the patient a lot, which is killing a person.
of course it is.
So, yeah, it's very well drawn, and there's very much in the way of intrigue, and
it's very well drawn if you're into that sort of stuff, because I know some people who, I've seen some things out there, people like really ripping on this guy's artwork.
Well, and there's a reason for that if you're maybe
no accounting for taste. And actually, I'm on the guy's, I'm on a page, like, looking at all his work. He's still doing hentai.
Well, there we go.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, High School of the Dead came out, I think, in 06. Then after that, he released a couple more, hentai things. Like he's done Gundam Seed Destiny, Dojinshi's, Witchblade, Gurren Lagann stuff.
Well, to be fair, Witchblade is basically hentai already.
Yeah, well, Japanese Witchblade is basically hentai.
Yeah.
Yeah, meanwhile over in America, Witchblade is the 90s.
Yeah, it's a 90s TV show.
Well, 90s comic series.
I think there was a TV show, too.
Oh, yeah, there was, but it tanked.
Well, yeah.
Comics are still going on.
Oh, there you go.
Now there are two Witchblades, and some dude would think some kick thing called Excalibur, and now she has a baby with the darkness.
Ooh.
Which makes no goddamn sense, because as soon as the darkness person hosting the darkness has a baby, they burst into flames.
They have changed universes, though.
Ah, true.
Like, they jumped universes.
Anywho, yeah. So, I'm not here to talk about comics.
But yeah, as most of these things go, there's the romantic subplot between the character and his sort of... She's not really a childhood friend. She's sort of his senpai, his senior in the organization.
Okay, so exchanging one stereotype for another.
Mm-hmm.
Clichés for the win.
But yeah, the only reason this kid's involved in the organization is because he saved the son of the head surgeon at the hospital, who's also the head of the Black Label. And the son still lost, or the guy still tried to save the life of the son, who was his best friend, but the guy still died due to head trauma, because there was a big explosion due to a drug thing. So
wait, so the main character tried to save the son of the head guy, and thus that made him qualified to be an assassin.
That it allowed him... I'm trying to think of the way to say this. The head surgeon guy, because of this, tried extra hard to save this kid's life after the immense trauma he took by taking the brunt of the actual explosion.
Okay.
For his son, but his son still died due to head trauma that happened previously. And so, basically, Arashi was basically a ball of mush. His limbs were completely destroyed and stuff. So he's sort of been... He used his son's perfectly intact body to sort of replace Arashi's damaged one. So he's
So he's a Franken-son.
Sort of, yeah. And so he has, like, the arms and the legs of his best friend when he was a kid.
Well, and that's not creepy at all. Of,
yeah, it sort of has the life debt thing to the pseudo-father, I guess. So that's sort of the motivation behind it. Everybody has their motivations and stuff, but it's...
So did they, like, train him, or is this the, or is it like that weird, like, Metal Gear thing where you transplant a body part and they have, like, all the skills that person had?
No, he had to be trained and stuff. And it's just, he was sort of folded into the organization. Just sort of naturally.
Yeah, that's still kind of creepy.
As presumably the head surgeon's natural son would have been as well. So, and there are also little asides for when they go to attend their school life and such, because they have high school to go to.
Of course, because you know, just because you're a member of a very secret assassin society doesn't mean you don't need a proper education.
Well, yeah, presumably he'd go to school to become a doctor.
Yeah, presumably.
So he could take up a position at a hospital.
Why not just be a janitor?
Yeah,
you'll still work at the hospital.
Because the majority of the female adult females that you see are nurses at the hospital, as well as assassins and stuff. So that's sort of their base of operations.
Yeah, their base of operations, but then.
No, they just have regular janitors. They don't need assassin janitors.
Why not? It'd be awesome just see like another news. Another man was killed today with a mop. Just really weird janitor-based crimes. Just make like murder puns using janitor lingo.
Just Dust Force.
Yes, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's
Dust Force the anime. Make it happen, Satoshi. Make it happen, Satoshoji. I'm counting on you.
Yeah, because he listens.
But you don't know.
Just like all of the other major executives in the manga industry.
Yes, which is why Eiichiro Oda will eventually be forming a relationship between Luffy and Nami. If that happens, I'm fucking claiming credit for it. I really hope it does happen. Because I want it to happen. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
I don't want to start crying.
This is okay. This next one is certainly going to spark some conversation, I think. just because of its premise and the genre, which is very blurred, I guess. But let's... Okay. So it's called Renai Idenshi XX. And basically set in the future. I forget the exact year.
In the year 3000!
It's not that far in the future. You know, like 2100 or something.
Okay.
And 30 years before the start of the manga, there was this virus that killed off all of the males. A virus killed off the last male in existence.
Is this a continuation of Why Last Man?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. If there's a monkey, I'm calling it.
But there's literally not a single male left. So, and, you know, virus affected the Y chromosome, only is activated in the presence of a Y chromosome, yada, yada, yada. Males die. And so, society has naturally sort of taken a bit of a shift. But not as much as you might think, as the remaining people, all naturally females, are divided up into two groups called Adams and Eves. The Adams do the quote-unquote traditional male work. Like, they go into the workforce, military, you know, that kind of stuff. And then
they shave.
And the Eves would be the, you know, nuclear home mother figure. Stay at home mom, take care of the kids, yada, yada, yada.
They still have kids?
Well, yeah, they breed using artificial insemination.
Okay,
there's
so.
There's stockpiles of sperm out there, man, so.
Yes, stockpiles, which would be completely unaffected and just nothing but women.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah, it's weird.
Because the virus killed off all of the DNA with the Y chromosome, so all the sperms with carrying the Y chromosome died.
Mm-hmm.
That's
except
the way it works.
That the sperm is kept chilled so it doesn't get affected by such things, otherwise it wouldn't stay good. So if you waited out until the virus inevitably died off because there's no more males left, you could then have males.
They don't really get into the nitty-gritty of it. But
it's a plot virus, okay? Doesn't have to make sense.
It is artificial insemination, the way they carry on the human race. And apparently only females are born, so on and so forth. So 30 years after the last male dies is when this takes place. Our main character, who's in Adam, shows up at the Kingdom Academy to start her education.
It's a guy, isn't it?
Hmm?
Main character's a guy, isn't it?
No, they're all actually, it's all true females, which brings in the weird part. The Kingdom Academy is separated into two different campuses. One for Adams, one for Eves.
Segregation!
Yeah. And, you know, there's the rules about not being allowed to mix. And, you know, standard sort of co-ed boarding school kind of stuff. And also, there are... there is a specific rule about the lack of romantic relationships between atoms. So
wait.
Did you say the lack of romantic relationships between atoms?
Yes.
So in a world of all women, you're not allowed to be. You're allowed to be romantically linked to other women, but you're not allowed to be gay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Even in a world where you can't be anything but gay!
You see,
but it's not that you can't be romantically involved with another woman. You can't be gay. You can't be an atom with an atom.
Yeah. Can't be an E with an Eve.
They don't go into that, but presumably not.
God damn.
So, you get this weird Yaoi-Yuri combination.
Yeah, this is really bizarre.
So it's just, yeah. So you get the whole forbidden male-male relationship, except it's actually all females.
Yeah.
Who took over that they somehow managed to keep gender roles in a world dominated by women?
Yeah, like, what the hell?
Well, I suppose they just figured that it was people needed to be in the military and so on and so forth, and so they
separated
to do that, to do different
things. Then equal opportunity. Women and women can be in the military.
Exactly. This makes no goddamn sense. Like, oh, hey, all the men died. Let's regress to the 50s. Actually, how do they decide who's an Adam and who's an Eve?
I believe that's decided at birth.
Is it like a lottery system? Do they, like, take a specific blood type and see if they're, like, more, like, leaning toward one or the other?
I'm not sure. I read the first chapter of this, and it explained very little. But the main character who is an Adam carries around a sword.
Of course, yada, yada,
and you know, metaphors galore.
Yeah, and actually, here's something else I'm wondering: are there sex change operations in this world? Like, if someone is born, they're decided to be an Adam. Is there the option to have them like get turned into a guy? Because that doesn't actually involve putting a Y chromosome in them. It's just testosterone, which is a hormone, which, according to you, was not affected by the virus. It only affected the Y chromosome. So are all the atoms just sex-changed, operated people? Is that an option for the atoms?
They never mentioned.
So many questions. This world makes no sense.
So, yeah, this isn't so much a, I suppose you can think of it as a recommendation for, out of interest's sake.
Yeah, I'm going to be fucking reading this, because I want to see this world.
But, yeah, it's
yeah, so what's it called again?
Renai and Edenchi XX.
I got it.
IDENSHIXX.
And now I understand the title. A bit.
Yeah. So
actually, it's with the virus that killed all the men. You said, like, this takes place 30 years after the death of the last man. Was the virus, like, an instantaneous thing? Did it only affect men and they all started dying off? Was it a slow thing? Was it like, oh man, one guy got sick? Oh, it was just a common cold. And all of a sudden, all the men started getting sick with the same thing? Or just, like, instantly?
I don't think it was sort of like a wave that passed over the world and all the men just dropped dead. No, I believe it was a sort of an illness thing that everybody comes down with.
Okay, so it wasn't Why the Last Man.
So,
a guy could not have been saved by living with a monkey. And yes, that's what happened to Why the Last Man. I'm just gonna keep making parallels to that because it's very similar. Like, in that universe, yeah, there were also some women in that universe, they started like getting, you know, the hormone injections, so they start like growing beards, they get more muscle mass so that they can like be more, you know, stereotypically masculine. To make like some of their lesbian partners feel a bit more comfortable with them.
Hmm.
Okay, is this just like a world that's entirely consistent of anime girls? Only some of them have guns. And one of them has a sword because get it like a penis.
Hmm. But
that would be a horrifying anime. It'd be like AKB-0048 times 1,000.
Of the atoms that you see in the first chapter, the trend seems to be a lack of gestage.
Okay.
In the Atoms. So, whether that's, you know, eugenics.
Wait, is that what they test for at birth?
Or,
like babies are born and they just, like, test their blood to see how big their boobs will be, and that decides, like, Adam or Eve?
I have no idea. Maybe they do it by families. Congratulations. From now until the end of time, your family will be Adams. Hooray!
Has anyone descended?
The size of breasts is determined by hormones, which cannot be predicted at birth because hormones are not, while affected by genetics, are not completely
shut up with your science.
Controlled by genetics.
This is anime, motherfucker!
Science. Although you are right, that pricking by families gives you a decent chance. I mean,
has anyone, like, ever dissented? Like, has there ever been, like, an Adam who wanted to stay at home and cook, or, like, an Eve who wanted to go join the military?
They were executed.
I honestly have no idea.
We need to study this.
There wasn't exactly a whole lot of backstory on controversy.
Okay, we need to create it. We need to start expanded universe fiction about this series. Just look at everything leading up. Just look at everything like those 30 years between the beginning of the series and when the last man died.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Don't you fill in the backstory and be absolutely retarded by it? So idiotic. It turns out it actually was just monkey shit that killed everyone.
Yeah. So, I suppose it'll probably be easier to find it if you know the English name, which is Love DNA XX. So.
I don't know why, but that sounds really funny to me.
Give that a shot.
Yes.
It's certainly interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
Now, I've got one more, which... Okay. I was thrilled once I found it, actually, because this is actually fairly unique in, from my experience anyway, in manga. It's called Let's Lagoon.
Yeah, I've read some of this.
Yeah. Like, how much have you read?
I think, like, the first 15 chapters, I think.
Okay, so you probably...
It's been a while. It's been a few years. I read it before I met you.
Okay. So, that's a while since we've known each other forever. No, we haven't. But anyway, as the manga opens, we see Yamada, presumably our protagonist, stranded on a deserted island without any sort of idea of where he is and memory of how he got there. And so he finds...
He seems to recall a tiny ship.
So, let me tell it.
Gilligan's Island joke for the win.
So, he finds his sports bag and correctly, as it turns out, assumes he was on a school trip and he went overboard or something. And with only 7 days of food, he eventually decides to start. After a few days, he decides to go and say, well, clearly nobody's coming because he sees no ships, nothing, for a couple days at all, and he decides to start making a boat so he can leave the island.
But as he goes and lands, he finds the cast of Cage of Eden.
No.
If only. That'd be really bizarre. Just that's how Cage of Eden ended. Just not that bullshit where they're all of a sudden like 5 years older, one of them's banging the teacher, and then we have no idea what the fuck happened in the main relationship. It's just, yeah, we found this fucker. and they're 100 years in the future.
Whoa.
God, Cage Beaten End is stupid.
But anyway, he... Basically, he figures he's alone on this island this whole time, and then he runs into a classmate of his, Imaise Chika, and he sort of comes back to her eating his food, which
fucking
doesn't
bitch.
Exactly start the relationship all that well. But they eventually settle their differences, and they decide to help each other to build this boat so they can get off the island. And since they sort of continued building the boat as Yamada originally had planned it, there was only room for one of them, because apparently they don't take the time to redraw out these things.
Yeah, or, you know, make it bigger.
So Yamada decides to set off for help, and then he returns after noticing that not only did Imaise put most of the rations that they split up into the bag that he took with them, but they were mostly untouched as well, meaning she hasn't really been eating. So basically, he goes back and notices that what she made the oar for the boat out of was a fishing spear, so they decide that they can stay on the island and
sex.
Live it out, I guess. And that's sort of where the basic premise ends. It's a lot more complicated than that. It gets a lot more complicated.
Yeah, from what I remember, it got really weird.
Not super weird. It's just, you know, time travel.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't get to that part. I just got to the part where, oh, hey, school.
Well, eventually, this is hard to talk about without spoiling things. Basically, what happens is the island that they're on is sort of a bit like the Lost Island.
Of course it is.
In that it appears and disappears in certain spots.
It has a wheel that combines light and water that causes time travel.
No.
Well, how do you know? Have you read that far into it yet?
It has fog that causes time travel.
And the fog sounds like a machine.
It's just a big fog bank that appears, and all of a sudden you go, I'm trying to think of how long, I think it's 10 days back in time.
So
is how far back you get sent.
And is that and like a constant, that's a constant thing? Is that a constant thing with the smoke, the fog?
Yeah. The island isn't there, per se. It appears with the fog, and it exists 10 days removed back in time from the normal flow.
I need to read this series again, man.
You really do.
I really do. I remember really liking it.
Yeah, it gets into some really interesting stuff, like eventually, sort of accidentally, I guess, Yamada gets off the island.
Woo!
Via falling into a fog bank that comes up, and he ends up basically right where he fell off the ferry that he was on for a school trip 15 minutes later, after having spent, I think it was, yeah, it must have been 10 days on the island. On the 10th day, he fell into a fog bank and landed in the ocean beside the ferry that his school trip was on. And no more than 15 minutes had passed in their time frame, but he had been gone for 10 days in his mind. And so he, you know, finds a way to get, you know, he needs he left Chica behind, so he's like, need to get back. We need to go back!
We need to go back to the island.
And there's...
there's an old lady with a big swinging pendulum.
That doesn't seem to be anything...
and Desmond's important for some reason.
Mechanical. Or it seems to be a perfectly normal island, except for the...
magic.
Existing, removed from the timeline kind of thing.
It's basically normal island, except magic.
Yeah. You know, there's no mysterious corporation thing. It's just a weird...
there is no group of people dropping off, you know, airdropping in a bunch of tubs of ranch dressing.
And eventually you get into the part where he sort of... there's some weird... it's got some interesting theories on some time travel and stuff. Basically, it sort of follows that you can't really change anything, or you shouldn't, because nobody's really tried to change something yet. But basically, it was... there are times when when Yamada has gone and met himself from the first time he was on the island after he goes back, and... because, spoiler alert, he goes back, if that was a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, come on. You've seen... everyone here has seen Lost. They know everyone goes back. So I'm up in the 70s. They drop a bomb. I've watched a lot of Lost, okay?
But yeah, it's great. It's hard to get into a conversation about without ruining it. But it's time travel, and it's good.
Yeah, I do remember really liking it.
It's probably one of the best manga I've run into recently.
Yeah, back when I was reading it, I did remember really liking it. I don't think I got to any part with the time travel aspect of it. It was just basically, you know, survivors on an island.
Yeah.
And seeing how the relationship developed over time, and it was good. I liked that. It was something that I... was actually, you know, relationship development that I couldn't see going into some real bullshit thing of, oh, hey, do they like each other? We don't know. Blah, 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 blah. And the series ends. Like every other shonen thing I've ever fucking read.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, well, what the fuck is it with shonen people and their, like, fear commitment?
It's their fear of closure, because then they'd have to come up with a new story.
But they come up with new stories all the time. Just have one where, oh, hey, look, they're together.
Yeah, but honestly, it's the same kind of deal with the whole Castle Beckett scenario.
Yeah, they...
used it as crutch. That's all it is.
They spent 4 years trying to get them together, and they finally did. Now they're doing everything together. I'm sorry, I get into these relationships, okay? I'm invested.
But yeah, Let's Lagoon.
Writers are assholes.
Just check that one out.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant sort of time travel-y mystery thing. So, and it's seinen, so it handles things with a decent amount of class. So yeah, check that one out. And with that, I think... I was hoping to get maybe a bit more talking about it, but, you know, you can't really talk about it without ruining, just explaining the entire story.
I've forgotten everything about it, and Bobby, have you ever heard of this?
Not before today, I haven't.
Yes, we can't exactly have a big discussion on it without, you know, spoiling everything.
Yeah, and it would involve me just saying chapter by chapter the story.
Just give it the plot rundown.
Yeah. But yeah, it's... take my word for it. It's good if you enjoy the sort of psychological time travel stuff.
Oh, I do when it's done well, but again, Cage of Eden. Just giant ghost lobster claws that's 100 years into the future.
Now, this is a bit different from that, I guess, because it's like, you know, it's one of the mechanics of it. One of the core mechanics of it, although you don't necessarily know that at the beginning.
Yeah, like with Cage of Eden, they just kind of threw it in at the last minute. It's like five chapters from the end. Oh fuck, we're in the future. And then it shows what happened leading to the creation of the island and watching the main character's mom die.
Yeah. But yeah, the most recent chapter came out near the beginning of the month, I think. So, early April-ish. So that's what I saw, and I started reading it. Because I'm like, what the heck's this? And I checked it out, and it was awesome. And I don't regret it ever.
Yeah.
And neither will you! Guaranteed! Not actually a guarantee.
Yeah. It's like all guarantees does no prods. Probably like mileage may vary.
But yeah, that's about. I think that'll be it for me.
Okay.
So far, so.
Okay, so everyone, what have you been reading and watching?
Well, I really just have one thing to talk about today.
Okay.
Except that I usually make a rule of not going back to things that I have avidly watched over and over and over again. I have to make one exception today.
Fairy Tale.
Which is that I watched episode 25 of Da 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 again.
Oh, okay.
And I for some reason became very, very aware of the incestuous relationship between Isaiah's sisters. Although it's not quite incestuous, it's very close to being incestuous. It's weird.
Okay, I forgot Isaiah had sisters.
Yeah.
I need to watch that show again.
They totally make out.
Of course they do.
But moving on from that, I've been watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Okay. So
the new series?
Yeah, the new series or the old stuff?
Yes, the new series.
Okay. Yes, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Phantom Blood, I believe, is the arc that they're in.
Yes, it's bizarre.
So.
Yeah. Fits well, the title. This is my first experience with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Ever watched any of the older series? The one thing I must say, and this is not really related too much to my thoughts on the series, but the opening. I really like the way it's animated.
Okay.
It's really interesting. I don't know if either of you guys have watched this series at all.
I watched the abridged series.
I sort of started watching it, and then it's like, the beginning was sort of slow for me, and it kind of dribbled off, and I haven't gone back to it.
Okay,
but yeah,
well,
I sort of watched it-ish.
I've been meaning to actually look at that series, because, you know, like I've only seen the abridged series, so...
But I'm familiar with the premise.
Yeah, it's stands and fire chickens. That first one's like Vampire Masks.
Yeah, that's what I'm in right now, Vampire Mask. But the opening is what I was going to talk about really briefly. The way it's animated is really cool. The best way I could describe it is, well, Deadman, you play the Walking Dead game.
Yes, I do.
It's sort of similar to that, where it looks, you know, hand-drawn, but it's also 3D.
Hmm.
And everything's sort of angular and cel-shaded, but... Anyways, it looks really interesting and cool. The song is a bit odd for it, but the opening overall is quite interesting and honestly had me captivated for the couple episodes I was watching it.
Okay.
But yeah, Vampire Masks. Because that's totally what the series seemed like it was going to be about when it started.
Yeah, it... No.
No, it started off like, oh, this man saved my life, so I will adopt his son after he's dead, and, oh, look, Dio, the adopted son, is being terrible to JoJo, the actual son. I don't care. Dio's my favorite.
He's being terrible to Jonathan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure why it's called JoJo is because Jonathan Jotaro.
Yeah. Joestar.
Yeah, Joestar. Jonathan Joestar, right. Sorry, Jotaro is the guy from... The next series.
Yeah, it's about, basically, the series as a whole, it's about Dio Brando. who becomes a vampire.
You're terrorizing the Joestar family.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
and
basically the premise of the show.
And if you've seen the old show, then you know some bad shit's gonna go down. Like, really bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything really bad yet, but Dio, he did murder Jonathan's dog.
Oh.
Like, he incinerated it.
Ah. Yeah, that did happen.
He put it in a box and left it in the incinerator, and when the servant's like, oh, I'm going to incinerate the garbage.
What, did he not pick up the box and feel the thing moving inside it?
He didn't pick up the box. The box is already in the incinerator. He's like, oh, someone else must have left it. Whatever.
Okay. Oh, servants.
Then he does plot device.
You know, when you find a box in the garbage, you can go through it and steal shit from it. They don't want it anymore.
The one plot point that comes up in Dio's pre-vampire terrorizing of Jonathan is Jonathan starts to become sweet on a girl named Erina.
Of course he does.
And they start to, you know, really get along, and seems like things are going to go places with them.
Yeah.
Then what does Dio do to stop this?
Rape.
He kisses Erina and says, now I've stolen your first kiss. And that actually destroys their relationship.
I can't tell if this is like a Japanese thing or like old school style, like that era type thing, because, you know, this does take place, you know, decades in the past or something. In a different time.
Well, I will say when it happens in Holy Night, it's not decades ago. It's modern day.
But this is in Holy Night.
Yes, but I'm just saying it's the one thing I've also seen that exact same thing happen in. Only in that one, the person who got kissed also got turned into a vampire.
Okay, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah, but she didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, but still, this... Oh no, some jackass kissed me. My relationship is over with this guy that I like. Oh, the horror. Anyway.
Yeah, the only thing I can say for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is it's very strange. But I do enjoy it.
Okay.
And it at least has a semi-proper view of vampires. I mean, so far the only way that's been shown to kill them is with sunlight, but, you know, they're proper vampires. Well,
yeah.
The one vampire is a proper vampire.
Yeah, plus, you know, some vampires, like, within legend, they are powerful enough to, you know, not be killed with the stakes of the heart or cutting off the head or stuff like that. You need, like, either sunlight or you need to do, like, every single method to kill a vampire all at once. Like, stick him in the heart, cut off the head, shove garlic in every orifice. And I mean every orifice.
Then you get Dracula, who's a daywalker, and you have to kill him with a special virus, and...
The fuck is that? Seriously.
Oh, Blade Trinity.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, it's got proper vampires, it's got... Okay, one thing I don't understand, though. At one point, before he's even interested in her, this is one of the way, like, very near the opening of the series, Erina's getting bullied, and JoJo comes to deal with the bullies, and they kind of kick his ass.
Yep.
Even though he, like, he gets some good punches in on them. And then we find out that he's a competitive boxer, and he's actually kind of ripped. Why did he get his ass kicked?
Because he didn't want to fight in front. Because
he didn't want to fight in front of a guy lady. and one pudgy guy. Well, he was fighting. He was just losing.
Fight. He didn't want to fight well in front of a lady. I guess, you know, making himself come across as like weak and shit. Maybe like I don't know how minds work.
He wasn't trying to woo her or anything.
Continuity. Fuck it.
This is before later on in the series when he gets really ripped.
Yeah, they needed something. They needed like some dramatic convenience to make Erena fall in love with this guy. It's like, oh, he tried to help. It's like, oh, he tried to help me, but oh, he was too weak to be able to help me. Oh, that's so sweet of him. Oh wait, he's a boxer. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, you know what would work better? Oh, this guy tried to save me and he succeeded.
Yeah, that would have destroyed the relationship. Just if it turns out. If it turns out, like, she actually just, like, likes him because he sucks at fighting, but, you know, is courageous enough, but then actually it turns out he is, like, just a total badass boxer. That's what destroyed the relationship, not her kissing Dio. That was just a convenient excuse she needed. I was like, I don't know, why are you breaking up with me? Oh, because someone else kissed me. Oh, the horror. I must leave.
So, there's another interesting character who's introduced. His name is Speedwagon. I assume his first name's REO, but
I was trying to keep myself from making that joke.
Anyway, Speedwagon meets JoJo when he tries to murder him, and it doesn't go so well. Speedwagon goes all odd job and throws a blade hat at him, and then Jonathan's just like, fuck that noise, kicks him in the face.
Professional boxing.
Well, at that point, he's also a rugby player, as a note. And
rugby.
Totally buff.
Yeah, but I don't from what little I've seen of rugby, I don't recall a lot of face kicking.
It just means he's athletic enough to, you know, if he kicks you in the face, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, I know. Like, a boxer kicking you in the face is still gonna hurt, but still, you know, boxing. A lot of kicks to the face.
So, yeah, and at first he seems like an interesting character. He's the criminal who, once he gains respect for Jonathan, he immediately turns to his side. He does things to help him. But then, after Dio turns into a vampire, absolutely, the only thing he does is complain about how beating Dio is impossible. That's the rest of his role. And I'm like, come on, really? Just shut up.
Yeah, so did Speedwagon, like, gain respect for Jonathan after getting kicked in the face?
Yes.
So maybe his respect was actually brain damage. And then when, you know, Dio turned into a vampire, like, something, like, it was just, like, kind of temporary brain damage, and eventually, like, clicked back into normal. It's like, what the fuck am I doing? And then referring back to his old ways of, oh, fuck this noise, I'm just here to steal shit, okay? I'm a criminal.
Well, no, he doesn't revert back to his old ways. What he does is like, don't do it, Jonathan! Or Mr. Joestar, you're gonna hurt yourself! Don't! You can't possibly beat him, just save yourself now, run away! Ah!
So maybe it's a progression of his, like, fucking thing. Instead of, so, like, first kick in the head, gain respect, the dude turns into a vampire, turns into Joestar's mom. Like, oh no, Jonathan, don't go fighting him, you'll hurt yourself. Here, at least take a sweater.
Be yes. Sure to drink lots of water falling into that raging inferno.
Yeah, and do you have on your sunscreen? Anyway.
But yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I finished the first arc with Jonathan Joestar, so I'm going to be moving on. At least I think I finished that arc.
Okie dokie then.
That's it. That's all.
Okay, so on to me, I guess. Yeah, so I have two things to talk about, and both of them are series I've talked about before. So, first one, No Game, No Life. I talked about this one, I think, either last episode or the episode before. So for those who remember, this is about two like brother and sister who are like the world's greatest gamers at like video games, card games, board games, anything. And they end up getting transported to this other world that's entirely based on games. They get pulled there by a little kid who looks very girly, but is constantly called a he, and calls himself God. As they just end up in this world that's like entirely based on games, and so the second chapter came out recently, and we got a bit more, you know, expansion on this world. So basically what happened was, in this world, there were dozens of gods. Like, there were, like, lesser gods, major gods, all kinds of gods. And there was like, a throne of the one true god that was left vacant. And so a big war started, like, breaking out between all the gods and, like, all their armies, trying to figure out who would be the one to, you know, ascend to the throne and become the one true god. And the god that we met in the first chapter is that god. So, you know, they ascended to the throne, they became the one great god, and then they abolished war. And all conflict that results in bloodshed. Like, all of it. It's now illegal to fight. If you try to fight someone, you will be killed.
Because that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes. Yeah, so the god also laid out, like, 10 commandments, I guess, for how this world should be go. Yeah, the 10 oaths. It's like, so, oath 1, all bloodshed, war, and pillage is forbidden throughout the world. 2, all conflict shall be resolved through the outcome of games. 3, in games, wagers will be made on what both parties decide to be equal value. 4, unless contrary to 3, the game content and the things wagered do not matter. 5, the challenged party has the right to decide the contents of the game. 6, as per the oath, the wager will be unconditionally adhered to. 7, all matters for group conflicts will be decided by a representative. 8, fraudulence detected during a game will be regarded as a defeat. 9, the above rules are unconditionally everlasting, upheld in the name of God. 10, everyone should get along while playing games. So yeah, it's just, do all these things or God will fuck you up, but have fun. Which, okay, yeah, it's nice. And so yeah, this was just kind of world-building stuff with the chapter of, like, learning the backstory of the world, seeing, you know, how things progress, and also getting a bit more with, you know, these characters and seeing how they interact with this world. Which is, they rip it off for everything it's worth. Because that's the thing with these two characters. We learn in the first chapter, like, the daughter, like the sister, I believe her name is Sora or Shin or something. They both have S names. But so the sister, she is more analytical. She is the one who's able to, like, map out moves and stuff and do all that. Well, the guy, the brother, he is more, you know, gambling. He is the one who is able to cheat and also be able to, like, he has, like, a lot of luck with the terms of things. Like, when we first see him, he's playing poker with someone, he pulls off a royal flush.
Right. Which,
you know,
it's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And it's hinted at that he cheated it. That he actually, you know, work the cards in such a way that he would actually get that hand, and the guy, you know, wouldn't. And that's kind of his thing. He is any advice he gives to someone is he's, like, able to see when someone else is being cheated. He's able to, like, give advice about who to cheat, how to cheat, why to cheat. And it's inevitable that he'll get bitten in the ass by this. But yeah, so far, it is still really cool. Like, I really recommend you guys get into it. Like I said, it's 2 chapters in, and it is pretty cool. But the one thing, again, that is just kind of is the possible, like, lowly incest undertones that are happening. I'm probably just reading too much into it. But there's one or two panels in that comic got me a bit... One or two panels in that manga got me a bit icky. Like, in the first 2 chapters, just one or two. There's nothing there that was, like, over the top or anything like that. It's just one or two things that, when looked at the right way, could be misconstrued. Yeah, anything that I've read into this, I'm guessing it's all unintentional. And just me being weird.
Isn't that normally?
Yeah.
Everything strange is?
Basically, yes. Or me trying to make a joke and you guys thinking I'm serious. Yeah, so anyway, moving on. Sankorea.
Sankorea.
Yeah, there's a new chapter of it. And we learn a bit more about the leader of ZOMA, the Zombie Research Institute. And the fact that he's a necrophiliac.
Of course he is.
Yeah, so what we learn, so with this chapter, I guess previously in Sankorea, Furyu and Rhea, they go with their cat Babu to Zoma, which is this big zombie research facility that's run by Furyu's granddad's former partner. And so they go there in order to, like, figure out, you know, what why Rhea is the way she is. Because she's not like other zombies. Every other zombie that's been brought back, it's been, you know, person's died, then they give them, like, the zombie formula. Rhea took that one while she, Rhea took the zombie formula while she was still alive. So she is actually an entirely new breed of zombie. And so what they do is, the guy, I can't remember his name, the doctor, he lobotomizes Rhea.
Oh. Well, that's nice.
Well, not necessarily lobotomize. Like, he kind of took a biopsy of her brain. But as a result of that, she forgot, like, a good chunk of her life. Like, she doesn't remember who Furyu is. She doesn't remember who Darren is, who is, like, the daughter of the doctor, a guy who's, like, a friend of hers. All she remembers is Babu and being at the island. And also, the doctor's trying to kill Furyu. Because he locked him up in a cage in the middle of the jungle with the furthest gone zombies that there can be, this surrounding him trying to eat him, and he managed to escape because Rhea made him half zombie for a while, because it's a thing that they can do. That's so anyway. Furyu is wandering around the jungle. Then he runs into his granddad, who gives us a backstory of this guy. So it turns out when he was a kid, there was a girl who lived next door to him who, you know, he liked or something. And she was like an older sister to him and would always scold him when he was murdering animals. You know.
That's a good thing to scold for.
It is. So one day, the doctor, he goes in the forest with a shotgun to kill a deer and cut it open. Cause you know, it's kids. And them video games. So anyway, while he's out there, he has a deer in his sights, about to kill him, and then the girl, whose name is Rosalie, is there. He swings around and shoots her in his chest.
Oh.
Then he makes out with her. You know.
Like you do.
Yeah.
I'm starting to be scared. Like, very scared by this series.
Yeah, that's the thing with this series. It kind of, like, every once in a while, something will happen in it that just takes a hard left from everything else that's happened in it. When they first introduced Rhea, it's like, oh no, my life is kind of shit. You know, my dad, he's not that great. And then it turns out her dad's a pedophile. And he, you know, bathes in naked pictures of her that he takes every year on her birthday. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's kind of what this is. And so then we also learn that the doctor, he has this, little girl zombie that keeps around with him. Her name's Rosalie. And as it turns out, anytime he gets a young girl zombie in his place, he names her Rosalie and treats her better than he actually treats his own daughter. Which is what got her into zombie research. Feelings of inadequacy. Because her dad loves zombies more than her. People are fucked!
Yeah, it seems like no one in that series has an even remotely normal state of mind.
Wonko, maybe. Furyu's cousin. She, I'm pretty sure she has a crush on Furyu, but it's kind of standard for anime stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say, she hits on her cousin pretty hard.
Yeah, but again, it's something that's been seen a lot in a lot of anime and stuff, and you know, I just kind of take that as, you know, standard in these kind of places, like this world, I guess. The world of anime. See, anyway, Sankaraya is still really cool. I still really enjoy this series. It's getting into a bit more of the dark stuff, which is a bit strange. Like, they're like they're kind of making a big. They're getting more and more away from like the kind of standard slice of life stuff and getting more into the really weird, fucked up Dr. Science stuff. Which, just describing it to you guys, it does sound a bit, you know, it's like, oh, everything's all happy and stuff, and then, oh my god, lobotomies and fucking necrophilia and shit.
Necrophilia's been there the whole time.
Yeah, necrophilia's been there the whole time, but... But not this bad. Like the necrophilia thing's always been there because, you know, she's a zombie and stuff, but, you know, she's still, you know, conscious and feeling and has emotions and shit. This is a dead body with a giant hole in its chest.
Yeah, that's taking things up a notch.
Just a bit. And yeah, while that one was kind of like hard out of nowhere, everything else that they led up to, you know, it's been a gradual build toward it. You could always see it there, just like in the way the doctor interacts with everyone. And, you know, the fact that he is a he, but looks like a woman. And it's been a bit more gradual, but, you know, just... Like I said, every once in a while, just... Everything's going along fine, that, oh dear god, what is wrong with humanity? So yeah, I have recommendations for Zonkarea. No, but seriously, Zonkarea is a really good series. I really enjoy it. I've watched some of the anime, it's decent enough. But seriously, read the manga or watch the anime. They're both pretty good. Anime gets a bit more of the ick. They show a bit more of the stuff that the dad does with Rhea. Which is just so charming. With his secret hidden photo studio behind his bookcase in his study and the fact that he wears gloves to touch everybody except his daughter. Yeah. Anyway, Sakuraya, it's still good. It's really interesting the way things are progressing. Hopefully this doesn't end like every other goddamn series and just, you know, weird romantic, you know, limbo place for everyone, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be going. I hope it doesn't go there, because it seems like they actually do have, you know, a relationship building between these two, even if they don't, neither of them actually admits it because, you know, embarrassment and shit. But it's a fun, it's a good series. I do like it. Check it out, Zonkarea. It's good. So that's what we're reading and watching then. On to news. So, first piece of news. So, Madhouse's upcoming summer anime, Kamisama no Inai Nichi Yobi, has had a promo trailer released, as well as, you know, some cast and crew details. So, as our main character, I guess I should probably just, you know, give a plot summary. So the story takes place 15 years after people have stopped being born, and, you know, death is no longer permanent because God abandoned the world.
Huh.
Yeah. And so the only people who can actually, you know, put people down and, like, kill them permanently are gravekeepers. I, who's the protagonist, is the daughter of a gravekeeper, and she acts as a gravekeeper for her village due to one not being around. So one day, some guy comes into the village and kills everybody. Because, you know, he's not a gravekeeper. But I leaves them because she believes him to be her long lost father. Hijinks ensue. So in the series, I'm starring as Aya, we have Akito Yasaki, as Hanpuni Hanbato, we have Daisuke Namikawa, Yuto Gutu is Hana, and Mamiko Noto as Scar. Maybe this is a crossover with Lion King.
I would have gone with a Full Metal Alchemist joke, but okay.
Yeah. Well, there's been things going around with, like, Lion King being based on some Akira Toriyama anime fucking thing about lions. Anyway. So yeah, there's a promo up on the site right now, as well as a, like, cast list and some stuff, like, the director of it being the guy from Oda Nobunaga no Yabo, and character designs from Shinji Miyame. But it sounds pretty cool. I haven't actually heard of this series before, but it looks pretty cool. So yeah.
I enjoy how when God abandons the world, people stop dying.
Yeah.
It's almost like God is a bad thing.
Well, death is a part of life. But we're not here to talk about our theological views on death. Anyway, moving on to our recent news. Speaking of death, Yen Press has announced that they'll be releasing the next chapter of High School of the Dead simultaneously in North America and Japan. Bold. Which is pretty awesome.
Yes, which the implication of which is that the High School of the Dead is coming back.
Fuck yes. I cannot wait. It's been on hiatus for 2 fucking years. So yeah, this will be Yen Press will be doing this. I believe they'll be releasing the chapter digitally. While they'll release the chapter digitally while the physical thing happens in Japan. This isn't really clear if it's going to be like a thing where, like a continuing thing where they just start releasing, you know, other chapters day and date with the Japanese releases. But Yen Press said that fan support would, quote, definitely help future simultaneous serializations happen.
Well, it is worth noting that if you do simultaneous releases, it makes people a lot less likely to go to Scanlations.
Yeah. Like, one of the big reasons that I kept going to Scanlations, you know, aside from the fact that I have no money, is the fact that, you know, they're released day and date, like, pretty much day and date with the time it's released in Japan. And, you know, like, over here, we get chapters maybe once a month in English. Like individual chapters and, like, you know, the big collected editions, but then, like, in Tankobon, we get those every few months or something. So, with this... Yes?
As a note, the inverse is also true, that if people continue to go to Scanlations and not buy these simultaneous digital releases, it's less likely that you'll be able to get them.
Mm-hmm. True. So, yeah. I'm happy again. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, moving on to our piece of news. So, we talked about this a little while ago, but to celebrate Shonen Jump's 45th anniversary, a game is being released, which was previously known as Project Versus J, I believe. Which is a big, you know, team fighting game with a bunch of Shonen characters. Previously, it had been announced, when it was initially announced, it had Luffy from One Piece, Goku from Dragon Ball, and Toriko from Toriko as playable characters. But a new trailer has been released, and along with a name change, the game now being called J-Stars Victory Versus, Naruto has been added into the fray. Obviously.
Yeah, I don't think it's much of a stretch for this one. And I don't think it's much of a stretch to say that Ichigo will be showing up.
Yeah, pretty much any Shonen Jump character is like fair game to show up in this game.
And the biggest ones are probably going to be there, so Naruto is not a surprise. Ichigo wouldn't be a surprise.
Goku's definitely not a surprise.
Yeah.
Toriko a bit is. Because he's a relatively new series, I think.
Yeah, but it's gaining popularity very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he already had the big crossover special with One Piece and Dragon Ball. Which I still haven't watched yet. But anyway, yeah, that's going to be happening. There's a trailer up on the site for it right now. Check it out. It shows us some of the gameplay, which looks pretty good. So, moving on to our piece of news. Little Busters is going to be coming back for a second season. Woo.
Yeah.
Sorry, what is coming back for a second season?
Little Busters.
I know nothing about that.
It's a key visual arts anime.
Yeah.
So if you're familiar with them, that's what you can expect. I really should be able to pull titles off the top of my head for them. I think Clannad, Canon, Angel Beats was a key.
Oh, Angel Beats
anime. The Little Busters anime was last year at some point. Or earlier this...
I think it was late last year.
Yeah, I think it might have been fall of 2012.
I think you reported on it in, like, October, I think.
Yeah, it was probably fall 2012 when it aired.
Yeah, so it had recently ended, I guess, its 26-episode run. And showed a teaser for Little Buster's Refrain.
Yeah.
Which, according to the source article, was a bit more, you know, darker.
Yes. Yeah, as you get into the second part of the story of Little Busters, it gets darker. Not that I haven't played the game, or honestly, nor have I really watched much of the series, but I'm one of those people who kind of goes and spoils things for myself.
Oh yeah, totally.
And, I mean, Key normally has really great stories, so I know what happens, basically.
Okay.
But, yeah, it gets darker towards the end.
Okay. So, moving on to our next piece of news. Well, final piece of news, actually. Aniplex of America is going to be releasing the first two Monica Magica films in July. So there will be two different import editions of Puella Magi Magica Magica, the movie part one, The Beginnings, and Puella Magi Magica, Magica Magica, the movie part two, Eternal. There will be a standard edition and a collector's edition. The collector's edition will have a new cover art, a deluxe booklet, an original soundtrack CD, and a digipack. Aniplex is also going to be adding an English translation of the booklet and a postcard. And the standard edition will include a postcard from Aniplex of America. The collector's edition will run you about $130 with the, but some store prices are some places are selling it at like a $105. And the standard edition will run you $110 with some places running it around $90.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so the films will be available to people in the U.S., Canada, England, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and Central and South America on July 30th. So yeah, spend $100 to get a movie. Why are those things so fucking expensive?
I have no idea. I know nothing of what you speak. I know Aniplex tends to make things fairly expensive, except the Blu-ray release is pretty affordable.
How much is it?
I believe it's like $160, which sounds bad, but it's pretty good for what you get.
It really does!
It's better than buying the DVDs. The DVDs are goddamn expensive.
Yeah, every anime...
three sets, and it's like $60... $60 each? It must be less than what I said for the Blu-ray, because it ended up being cheaper in my head.
Yeah, like every single American release of anime and stuff has always been retardedly expensive that I've seen. It's ridiculous. So anyway, that does it for this week, I guess. Thank you all for joining us. So today. We should also be posting up the commentary. We should also be posting on the Anime Club for episode 7 and 8 of Samurai Champloo. We were kind of on them. and then be sure to come back to the site this Friday for another commentary track as part of Born of the BBC Month. This week we're going to be taking a look at Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Then this Sunday we're going to be having Anything Cast Live episode 50. Fuck yeah. That'll be happening at 5 p.m. Eastern. Please join us on allgames.com/chat. We'd love to hear if you guys think tell us about what we think we're doing with the site and the podcast and everything that we do on here. Then next Wednesday, we're going to be having the comic book podcast with special guest Mare Young from the Fantastic Forum podcast over on allgames.com. Then next Friday, we're going to be having the movies podcast as well as another commentary track. For that week, we're going to be watching the Doctor Who movie. And be sure to check back at the site every day for news and videos and stuff. And anytime we might be posting other stuff, we don't know. We don't plan these things. Stuff just kind of happens with us sometimes.
I do a video every weekday.
I don't. Well, yeah, so as always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at DestoProds. I'm at Denman_DDProds. We have at Bubby on. Punchatron does not believe in Twitter. You can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DestoProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DestoProds. Fits for myself. YouTube.com/BubbyOn for Bubby on. And Punchatron doesn't upload videos to YouTube. You can subscribe to us. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what we want to see more of. Let's etc. We are also on Stitcher now, so download the app and check us out on there. And we're on DeviantArt, so go to destoprods.deviantart.com and check out some cosplay photos from Bogo and Ninja Kitty. And other people that are friends of theirs, I believe.
There will be a lot more stuff there, especially after Anime North.
Oh yeah, Anime North. Fucking nuts. So yeah. But until all the stuff I mentioned earlier, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovi Wong.
And I'm Budgetron.
We'll see you guys next time.